Well, good morning. This is Glenn Coble, and we're on the air with On the Air. How's that? Aren't we smart? We do that sort of thing. And today we have a special guest, and I got to make sure I have the right phone. Our special guest is Dr. Marilyn Coleman, and she is kind of the head of a bunch of gardeners. she tells me it's not terribly active anymore because everybody gets older, right? But she knows everything about gardening, and we're going to talk to her. And I've got her microphone up now. Marilyn, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm not so certain whether I'm good, but I'm okay. I'll go along with that. All right. Well, we had Marilyn on about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, to get us started on gardening. We had a little break there, and now she's back, and we're going to start off today with what you need to do to get ready to garden, and that's cleanup. And we have somebody knocking at my front door, so I will continue on, and I'm going to have to take a break here. Give me 1 second, folks. All right, I'm back. That's the problem with the station not having a receptionist. I need a receptionist. So many people want to come and talk. But, okay, we're talking again with Dr. Marilyn Coleman, and we're going to talk about getting started, getting clean up. What is the first thing you look at doing when you go out to clean up? I've got your list of things that you do, but you tell me. I spent a good day taking the limbs off my front yard.
Limbs are a good thing, and you start with the big ones first.
You're going to have to move your microphone a little closer. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Limbs are a good thing, but yeah. You start with the bigger limbs first.
Yeah.
And if you're in town, you have to put this out at the curb, but if you're in the country like us, you have to decide whether that limb is good for firewood or good for kindling, or it's good to start a fire and cook hot dogs. You do have to remember that, like last week, we had a fire alert, so you have to be sure if you're going to burn in Ohio that you burn certain times a day, and if there is a wind advisory, you don't really want to be burning because you might catch your woods on fire or somebody's house on fire.
Now, you live down in Richwood area, right?
I live in the suburbs of Richwood.
Yeah, she has a 30-some acre farm, so she's in the suburbs down there by Richwood. I don't know that we're allowed to have a fire in the city of Marion.
Well, when we lived in Upper Arlington, you were not allowed to have a fire in Upper Arlington either, but you could have a barbecue or you could have
yeah.
You could roast marshmallows or hot dogs, and so whenever we wanted to get rid of the limbs and stuff at our house in Upper Arlington, we just always had some hot dogs in our back pocket.
I got you. I got
in case somebody asked.
Good excuse, yes.
But you do have to look at the regulations in town, and
yeah.
You do have to look at the warnings from the weather service to make sure it's not going to be dangerous. But
yeah.
You get the big limbs first, and like I said, sometimes you can use these bigger limbs for having a fire in the fireplace, if you've got a fireplace. And there's a lot of people now who are opening up their fireplace because you can get free wood for people that don't have a fire. So there's a lot of things that you can do, but you do need to kind of sort your wood. And if the wood is almost rotten, you know, if the wood's not good to burn, then you can put it in a pile and use it for mulch. You can also get a mulcher, and you can either rent a mulcher, but most mulchers are pretty cheap now. And you can have a gas mulcher, or you can have an electric mulcher. And then you can just take those all those pieces of wood and make it into mulch, so you don't have to buy mulch.
Now, that is one of the things I went through when I was cleaning my yard. I thought, well, boy, all this wood, I wish I had one of those, but I don't. So I went in and I looked up, can I get free wood chips from the city? You know, a lot of places give it away. And yes, you can, but you have to be able to accept a 20-yard load full of wood chips, which would fill my driveway, my garage, and my front yard.
That's why a chipper usually only costs less than $100. And if you buy mulch for your gardens, then you could go through $100 worth of mulch in a year or so.
Oh, easily, yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about getting rid of the pieces of wood. So it's an idea.
Now, if you chip your own wood, do you have to worry about little critters that are in that wood that you're chipping that might destroy stuff?
Not really.
No. Okay. Very good. So
there are other things that you need to clean up in your yard.
Okay. Let's go with it.
When the snow goes away, I have a blue heeler. And
oh, puppy dog.
He's a 62-pound ball
big
of
dog.
Energy. And he leaves his stuff all over the yard. So when you're cleaning, you do have to worry about getting the dog poo and all that stuff set up. If you have a mulching thing, you can put it all with the mulch and it just all goes away.
And that's okay to put that on your garden?
It's like horse manure. That's a little bit more concentrated.
Now, we had a deer visit us this spring, and he left tracks two places in my yard. I threw that right on the garden. I assume that was
fine.
Yeah.
The other thing that you have to look at when you're cleaning up is burrowing animals like moles and voles and stuff like that. And they will build tunnels underneath your yard so you can get things that you can put in the tunnels that discourage them. You can also use cat litter. They don't really like cats. So if you can open up one end of their run and put some cat litter on both ends, then they tend to...
Used cat litter or new cat litter?
Oh, no, used cat litter.
Yeah.
Because they don't really...
I don't like that smell.
Can put whatever you pick up from the dog in there. But they don't really like other critters knowing where they are.
Yeah.
But once you got your mole population taken care of, then you probably need to have... it's a barrel that you put behind your tractor, and it can be a garden tractor, but you fill it up with water, and it will take those mole hills down so that your grass won't die. Because if you got mold underneath there, then you tend to get grub worms and all kinds of stuff.
Because they've got room,
Because they have room.
Yeah, now, I have one of those things that you pull behind your tractor. I just don't have a tractor.
Well, it doesn't need a big tractor. You can do it with a lawn tractor.
I don't have a lawn tractor. I'm the lawn tractor.
Well, you just have to have a friend that has a lawn tractor.
There you go. Now, but flattening those down helps then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is that the only way you'll know if you have voles or moles is
the
little hills?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think I must have those, because
Well, if you don't have them, then have somebody else has them, because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
We used to have a Sheltie dog, and she would take those moles, and even in the middle of winter, she would dig underneath there, and she would get out the moles and play with them until they couldn't squeak anymore.
Jeez.
But my,
this is a family show.
My blue heeler, he barks at, he opens up the hole and barks at the mole or the vole, and if it doesn't come out in his time span, he just goes do something else. So he's not nearly as...
Does that scare him away? Do dogs scare him away?
No.
They just dig deeper, probably.
Well, they don't really dig very deep.
No? Okay.
But the other thing that you want to look at is if you have any spots in your garden, in your lawn that have died. And it could be because of once the lawn starts to green up, which now with a little bit of warm weather, you can see that. And you want to be able to reseed that area so that your lawn looks pretty.
Now, you were talking about the lawns greening up. Now, do they green up right away as soon as it hits 50 degrees, or do they take 3 or 4 days before they can come alive?
My lawn's been green pretty much all winter long.
Really?
The snow is an insulator.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And once the snow was gone, the lawn was still green.
Ah, Okay.
One of the things you do have to worry about in your lawn preparation is things like annual weeds. And mm-hmm. annual weeds would be like crabgrass
right.
and stuff like that. And they germinate and populate your lawn quite early. So you can take care of that by getting something called crabgrass preventer. And you can get, you know, it could be Scott's or Menards or Rural King or whoever's or even Myers. And you put it on at the level that it suggests on your bag.
Mm-hmm.
So that will keep your crabgrass. But you, if you do that, you want to do it. And then after you do, once the crabgrass has done their thing, then you can put your seeds in for your grass seeds.
And that won't hurt your seeds if you wait a while, or do you? Can you
well,
put
you
it right
have
in?
To, you want to do it before the seeds actually germinate.
Yeah.
Usually, if you have 4 days where the temperature, the lowest temperature of the day is 50 degrees for 4 days, that will start the germination of your annual weeds.
Okay. All right.
So we had some warm days last week, but there were not 4 days in a row that the lowest temperature was 50 degrees. So mm-hmm. you can still do it.
Now, I notice on your list of things to do, and maybe I'm jumping too quickly ahead, is burn off the top of your garden bed?
Well,
what is that?
If you have asparagus or rhubarb or something that's an annual vegetable,
mm-hmm.
or you have cane, you know, like blackberries, raspberries, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, those grow your new product, your new fruit or vegetable grows on new stock.
Right.
So if you've got weeds or whatever in your where you have your rhubarb or your asparagus, if again in the city you have to watch out for laws that will prevent you from burning it. But in a long time ago, before they had all this Roundup and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you could burn the fields, and it would take care of the seeds that were left over from last year, the annual seeds, and it would burn the perennials that were still there.
Hmm.
So it's a lot easier than digging through a lot of asparagus to try to get out
mm-hmm.
A big dandelion or something like that, or a burr or something like that.
Now, I'm going to plant asparagus this year for the first time. And I planted it once before a while back, and it didn't last. But
well, asparagus is something that you have to be very vigilant on how you plant it.
Yeah.
If you plant it correctly, you've got it for 100 years. If you don't plant it correctly, you don't have it at all.
Yeah.
But you want to dig a hole that is at least 10 inches deep.
Oh.
And at least 6 inches wide.
Yeah, I knew that.
And
I knew it was wide.
You want to fill the bottom of that with pea rocks, so that the asparagus doesn't like to have wet roots.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you want to put a really good mulch.
Okay.
Or you could put peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to mound up that mulch so that you have a hill in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the asparagus so that the crown of the asparagus is at the top of the hill, and the roots of the asparagus go over the edges of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to put, it's called superphosphate. Superphosphate is a chemical, it's a fertilizer
mm-hmm.
that stimulates root growth, and asparagus is just roots. So you want to follow the instructions on the bag for the superphosphate. It won't take more than probably a quarter of a cup for 50 asparagus, but it's absolutely necessary.
What if you only have 3 asparagus?
Well, you need to get more asparagus.
I don't have any room. And I think asparagus have to be spaced at least 18 inches apart,
well,
don't they?
That depends.
Okay.
If you're doing this correctly, you can have the plants in this big
trough.
Big trough. You can have another trough that's 6 inches away from that trough.
Okay.
So you're alternating. You've got the asparagus in the trough is 18 inches apart, but if you're offsetting the ones in the other trough, so you can put quite a few asparagus in a small
in two rows, and two little rows.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll work on that. Now, I did know you're supposed to mound up the middle, and that's to keep the roots drier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't know that about the putting the pea gravel down so
well,
that...
Well, that's so that it won't get dry. The roots do not like to be super wet.
Okay.
The other thing is that if you're just planting it, you only want to put enough soil back into the hole that's, you know, 18 inches deep.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to have enough soil in there to just barely, you can still see the crown.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're only going to have maybe 5 inches of soil in that hole. And then as that crown starts to grow, you add more soil.
Okay.
So that at the end of the time, you're going to have, your stalk is going to be probably 12 inches high because you've got a good 6 inches of between the pea gravel and the mm-hmm. mulch and all the other stuff. So when it gets to be so that it's level with your soil, then you just have to keep it. If the soil settles, you just have to keep in the summer. You just want to keep it so it's level with your ground. That
you should always see the crown or the top of the...
You should always see the crown.
Okay, all right.
It doesn't have to be all the way out of the ground, but you have to be able to see just the knob of that crown.
I got you.
And then you will have asparagus forever. And you don't cut asparagus the first year. Or
you
cut it...
Why is that?
Because the roots have to gain food. And you can buy three-year roots, which will allow you to cut some asparagus that first year, but mm-hmm. you want to really just cut a little bit, and then the next year you cut a little bit more, so that in 3 or 4 years, you know, we planted a lot of asparagus, and we probably get 5 pounds a day.
Oh my! I love asparagus.
Oh, it's very nice.
Yeah.
But you have to do, you know, you have to put in your work ahead of time.
Now, the bag that I got the crowns in said the first year, don't do any cutting. Let it go to ferns, and that is helpful if you let it grow.
Yeah, you want to, usually if you're buying it in bags, you'd want to wait 2 years because that's a one-year root. I don't have a lot of patience, so I buy three-year roots. But we planted 150 asparagus.
Oh, my.
So if you buy the really nice asparagus, you can buy it for about $1 to $1.25 each. If you're going to buy 100 of them.
Yeah. Well, mine cost a little bit more than that, but I only bought 3. So I'm going to have to go buy another one and do that alternating row.
Alternate.
Yeah,
you can get a lot of stuff in there.
Because I love asparagus. Now, my wife, she's okay with it, but I'm really buying a lot of stuff. My garden is pretty small because I'm buying it for 2 people, you know.
Yeah.
And I am going to try to give some of it away, but so the burning of it. Now you actually set fire to the weeds and stuff like that.
Yeah, you have to do it once. It's too wet to do it right now.
Yeah, of course
it
is.
But you don't want to do it when it's windy.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do it after the asparagus or rhubarb starts to show.
Okay.
You want to do it whenever it's dry. I would do it as soon as it gets dry.
And that doesn't hurt them for the next year coming up? Okay.
It gives them the opportunity that they're not going to have all these other weeds
arguing with them.
Yeah. Well, I found out that you don't really want to put the fertilizer that kills the germination
mm-hmm.
because it gets down into the soil and then messes up your asparagus.
Well, that's what I was wondering about that, and we talked about it briefly before we were on the air. Explain to me how you can use that, what is it called?
It's a crabgrass preventer.
Yeah, how can you use that without it hurting the plants that you want to grow?
Well, you just don't put it in something that you are planting seeds in.
Okay.
You just start plants.
And then you said if you decide to... if you decide to plant, you should probably plant them indoors and get them started if you're going to plant in
You can plant everything that you have, you can plant indoors or you can plant them outdoors in milk jugs.
Yeah. Tell us about that. Yeah,
I'd like to. Okay, well, I like to know what I've got as far as what my plants are going to be.
Sure.
And the very first thing you have to do when you want to plant something is you want to know what the plant wants. Mm-hmm. Some plants are cold stimulated, like like peas or lettuce or all the brassicas, or cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, all those are cold stimulated. So you put them in the freezer for at least 48 hours.
Oh, really? In the freezer, not just the refrigerator.
No,
okay.
In the freezer for 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you take it out, and you can put it in anything at that point because it's been cold stimulated. If you've got, I like to start stuff in what is called a plug pan, mm-hmm. and it has anywhere from 120 to 250 little holes, and you put the special, it's called seed starting material in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I've got some, yeah.
And you just fill up it looks like a very, very big old fashioned ice cube tray.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you just put the stuff in there and you put your seeds in. If you don't have a big garden, then you can write on the end of the row what seeds you have. Mm-hmm. And you can treat that thing any way you want to. You can start it you can just put it in a pan of water, not to go up above the top of the plug pan, but just
right.
So it's the bottom of it's wet, because it's only about an inch deep.
Right.
And then most seeds germinate in the dark.
Yeah.
So you want to wait it. You can put it in the basement.
Some people even say you should cover them up with cardboard so they don't get any light. Is that?
Well, if you put them in the basement where it's dark,
won't make it. Yeah.
So you start it there, and then you can put the seeds in your garden, and you don't have to worry about the crabgrass preventer. But the crabgrass preventer gets rid of morning glory kinds of things, which I don't really like those. Mm-hmm. And it gets rid of all of your annual weeds. It does not get rid of your perennial weeds. But normally the way that you would prepare your garden if you don't burn it off is that you can put a black tarp over your garden.
Yeah.
And you leave it there for at least 10 days.
Okay.
And the heat, even though it's not warm right now, the heat, because of the black tarp, will absorb the heat from the sun. Mm-hmm. It will kill off those perennial weeds. And so when you till your garden, then you're not going to be breaking them up and making lots and lots of dandelions.
Well, now you brought up an interesting point. You said when you till your garden, there are a lot of people out now that are saying no-till gardens. What do you think about that?
Well, it depends. If you don't till your garden, which is okay if people don't want to till their garden, but
they say it kills the worms and it cuts down the wormholes and.
Not that just depends on what you're doing to the garden before you till it.
Okay.
I have a lot of horsey friends, and so they clean out their barn, and I get last year's or the year before that's manure,
mm-hmm.
and it might be 6 inches deep on top of the garden. So when I till it down, then it makes all the worms and stuff happy.
Okay. I'm always afraid that I'm chopping them up with those little blades.
Worms regenerate. So if you chop them up, you just have more worms.
Okay. That's good to know. That was one of the questions I wrote down on my list that I forgot to bring with me that I was going to ask you. If you chop a worm in half, to do both halves. Yeah. Okay. That's true then. All right. Cool.
So we were talking about starting seeds,
yeah.
And there is, let's see if we got all of the stuff about, the rest of your cleanup, if you have vegetable gardens that are perennial, like your rhubarb. The rhubarb, if it's been a very cold and wet winter, and there hasn't been much snow,
yeah.
The rhubarb will heave up because of the cold. And so you want to gently stomp down around that rhubarb. You don't want to do it with asparagus, because asparagus is planted much deeper. Mm-hmm. But anything like hostas, mm-hmm, or bulbs, particularly your small bulbs like crocus and snowdrops and stuff like that, mm-hmm, if you have, we didn't have very much snow this year, but we had a lot of cold weather, and that cold and wet will make the bulbs heave up, and they'll die because they don't have soil on them anymore.
Sure.
So you just tromp around in your garden and dance.
And that doesn't hurt them to stomp on them?
If you don't do it, they die.
Oh, okay.
So
I got you.
Just don't want to stomp right on the bulb or the asparagus, or yeah, not the asparagus, the rhubarb. You just want them to go around it. And you can see when it heaves up what it is.
Okay. Now, the rhubarb is not a bulb, is it?
No, rhubarb's not a bulb, but it does. It is a plant that has, it doesn't go as deep as your asparagus. So it has a tendency to heave up also.
Okay. All right. That's a good note, because I have bulbs, and I don't do very well with my bulbs. And maybe I just haven't been pushing them back in the soil.
Well, daffodils and tulips and stuff like that are 4 to 6 inches deep.
Okay.
But your small bulbs like grape hyacinths or your snowdrops or crocus, those are very small bulbs, and mm-hmm, they're only about an inch deep, and they frequently will heave up. And if you don't look at what's going on, then they just don't thrive.
I never have any problem with my daffodils, but I
but
do
daffodils
have...
are 6 inches deep.
Are
so,
they? Okay.
But the smaller bulbs, you might have.
Now, I do have trouble keeping my crocus coming up.
Yeah, well, that's because you don't stomp them.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't know that until today.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, now we're going to talk about...
Pruning?
Well,
are we
going to
move to that?
Seeds.
Okay, seeds, yeah.
The very first thing you need to decide, and this is, you know, the armchair in front of the fireplace thing, is you look through the seed book and figure out what do I want.
Oh, I love doing that, yeah.
So, when you select your seeds, you have to look at how long it takes to germinate, what your germination criteria is, whether it's cold or heat stimulated, mm-hmm, whether you need to scar it or soak it like an okra seed or something like that, mm-hmm, and when it can be put outside. So we talked about a little bit about plugs, and plugs are the most efficient way to get plants in your garden, because everything's, you know what you got, and you can put it out when it's ready. But sometimes you just don't really want to go to all that. It's a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do something which is called milk jug gardens.
Yeah, tell me about that.
And the milk jug garden, you want to make sure that you cut the top of the milk jug almost off.
Now, these are plastic milk
plastic
jugs.
Milk
yeah,
jugs.
Okay.
Yeah. You can do it with wood, with your
cardboard ones? Oh, okay.
But you don't have the handle to hold on to.
Yeah.
You want to move it around.
Yeah.
You want to cut almost the top all the way off, just so that it flips when you need to.
Okay.
You want to put holes in the bottom, and you know a milk jug has a kind of a bump in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you've got holes so that that bump also has a hole in it, so that you don't drown your seeds.
I got you.
And you want to start the seed, if it's cold stimulated, you start it inside with, you know, you put it in the freezer and then you put it in there. Most seeds do not germinate in the light. They germinate in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a porch or something, you can put your milk jugs on the table, and you can put a tarp over them so that it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of difference in germination times for different things.
Sure, there are.
Carrots take forever to germinate.
Mm-hmm,
about
I noticed
14
that.
Days.
Yeah.
Radishes germinate in a couple of days. Both of those are cold weather plants, so you can plant them. But if you want to see, if you plant it in your garden and you want to see what's there, I usually plant the carrot seeds and put a little bit of radish seeds in with it, so I know where the thing is. When you forget it, even at the market.
Good
we
idea.
I have a blue heeler that likes sticks, and so sometimes he takes the sticks that I mark.
Yeah.
So that way you know where the rows are. But you want to, the biggest thing about the milk jug garden is that it's almost carefree. It's the opposite of the plugs. Once you've got the seeds germinated, if it's cold like it is now, you can put it so that it has sun a couple of hours a day. You don't really want to have it sun all day long because it's it'll get too hot. Mm-hmm. But you can even start tomatoes and peppers and eggplant. All that stuff can be started in this time of year.
But how do you get them out? And how many do you plant in a single milk jug?
Well, it depends on how many you want and how big your milk jug is.
Okay. Well, but, I mean, I have pretty big hands. It'd be hard to get down through the hole I opened up the top.
No, you've cut almost the whole thing
Okay.
And you can just pull the handle.
I got you. Okay.
If you got a gallon milk jug, I know your hands aren't.
No, they're not that big.
But you can just, if it's something that's like carrots you don't want very much material on top of them.
Right.
And lettuce and you don't have much material on top of it.
But now, when they start to grow in that, though, aren't you concerned? When you take it out, you're going to kind of bare root them, aren't you?
Well,
and I don't think tomatoes or carrots like that.
If you've got a gallon milk jug, mm-hmm. you could fill it up 3/4 if you wanted to with soil.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be peat moss or anything. It just soil.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is that you can put that on the table in the sun when it's really cold like this.
Yeah.
And you
little baby greenhouse for them.
It's a baby greenhouse for them. You don't have to water it because you've taken the top off of the milk jug,
mm-hmm.
the little screw top off the milk jug, so it'll get enough water.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much self-sufficient, and it's already hardened for the cold.
Yeah,
so
that's...
So you can plant your... As soon as it's warm enough to be outside of that little greenhouse, which peppers and tomatoes, you always want to do it, around Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
At the earliest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Memorial Day is normal, more normal.
Yeah.
But as soon as you can put them out, you don't have to harden them.
Well, now, hardening's a pain in the neck for me. But this sounds like a way of getting around,
it's a
Abner.
Way of getting around.
Oh, I love that idea.
But you can, right now, you could put beets and peas and radishes and carrots and spinach and all that stuff in these milk jugs. And by the time you get back from California,
they'll be
ready to put in the garden.
I have had terrible luck. I don't know what I've done wrong, but beets and what was the other plant that you said that grows underground. I struggle. I don't struggle with carrots, but beets and radishes I struggle with. They just don't.
Beets, you always want to look at the seed, and the rule of thumb is that you want to plant the seed twice the depth of the size
right.
of the seed.
Yeah.
So the beets, you do not want them on top of the ground.
Okay.
Carrots, lettuce, and that stuff, you can sprinkle them on top of the ground and just put a little bit of soil on them so that they don't blow away, and they'll be good.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Beets, you have to plant a little bit deeper.
Okay, maybe that's what I've been doing wrong, because I know I usually just sprinkle them down the row and only slightly put stuff. Matter of fact,
you have to put a little bit more, and you have to stomp down on them. You have to,
really?
There's a lot of stomping that you have in the garden.
Sounds like I'm going to be dancing this year.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
But once you can... The reason that the milk jug works so well is that you've got the soil warm.
Yes.
And you've got your heat and cold from the weather. And once it gets, in April, you want to put that where it doesn't get as much sun because it'll actually cook the plants.
Yeah.
But you can, now you can put it on a table in the sun for, morning sun.
Mm-hmm.
But come April, you could put it out in the north side of the house where it doesn't get that much sun.
Now, I'm going to be coming back around the 20th of April, They probably won't get so hot that I'll cook them by then, will they? If they're in the...
They have us a little greenhouse.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and they got the little screw top is off, so they'll get some water.
Some water.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
The other thing is that you can have a raised bed.
I do have two raised beds.
Raised beds allow the soil to be warmer than it was.
Oh.
And the other thing is that, you know, you want to be sure if you've got a lot of people put the raised beds on the soil, but you can also use a raised bed that's on sticks, and it's actually got air going off all four sides. But you always want to make sure that you have some seep holes in there so that you don't drown your plants.
Well, I was thinking if you put it on sticks, those sticks are going to be gone after a year or so.
Well, I put sticks or metal stakes.
Ah, okay. That'll keep them up. Yeah. They don't go away that fast.
No, they don't go away that much. But those are ways that you can get ahead of the game as far as, you know, getting seeds started. The Amish like to do, they will have peppers and tomatoes 6 weeks before we do, because they put plastic bags full of water around the plant.
Oh, to keep them warm, yeah.
And that acts as an individual greenhouse.
Yeah.
We don't have as many people to do that in our house.
Well, you can buy those things that go around your plants that you can either put water in, or they just warm up by the heat of the sun. But they're so expensive.
That's why I'm saying that, yeah. You know, it's not profitable for us.
Right. Now, having a little time, that's one of the struggles I have, having a little tiny, I got to check my time, make sure we don't go too long, having a little tiny, only 2 mouths to feed, my yard gardens are relatively small. I have 3 little plots, I have to, it's hard to only plant 3 carrots, you know, I mean, it's hard
well,
to...
Well, that's what neighbors are for. You just, okay. You plant, you find out what your neighbors plant and what the other neighbors plant, and you just, you know, together you can have a pretty good garden.
I have enough herbs, sage and oregano especially. I could give all of Marion herbs.
Oh, yes.
They grow like weeds.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right.
But as far as when you plant those in your garden, if you've got the milk jugs, you can plant them a lot sooner because they're already hardened to the outside.
I like that idea. I'm going to do that. I'm going to try that, especially with a couple of plants that I have a hard time getting hardened and stuff like that. All right, well, now we were going to... Is it all right if we jump on to pruning now?
If you're satisfied.
I'm satisfied. I mean, we only have another hour. And I'm not going to get enough done, I know, in that hour. But, okay, pruning.
Okay, you do pruning for 2 reasons.
Okay.
One is for the shape of the plant, if you want a particular shape. The other one is for the health of the plant.
Right.
And the other one is for the productivity of the plant.
Okay.
So most people in Marion would have bushes in their yard, and they would want to know, when do we prune bushes?
Like arborvita and that sort of thing?
Arborvita, or you have like the Annabelle hydrangeas, mm-hmm. and burning bush. All these bushes have to be pruned to keep them healthy.
For health, okay.
You have something like spirea, which has a shape of like an umbrella.
Yep.
So when you're pruning, you're really not changing the shape of that umbrella. You're taking out the dead material that's in it.
Okay.
Plants like hydrangeas, like Annabelle hydrangea, is a very woody hydrangea, and it is a early summer, late spring bloomer, so you want to prune after it blooms.
Oh, okay.
If you have a plant like a burning bush blooms in the fall.
Right.
So you want to prune that now.
Yeah.
Before it blooms, because it has enough time to get itself together again so that it can bloom and have its berries and stuff that we like.
Now, I have two burning bushes, and I have pretty much done a terrible job with them, but I let them keep going because I think I'm feeding the birds with all those little berries, but I
and
should be pruning
it. Lots more burning bushes around. And in the country, we have to, you know, they're almost like an invasive plant.
Yeah, you were saying that.
But, you know, you just have to, there's a lot of things that you can use other than burning bushes to feed the birds. There's something called a spice bush, which is really nice, and you can get it from the Extension Service or
really?
Wherever. And it's a bush that could be 6 feet tall, and it has lot. It's very pretty. It has pretty blooms in the spring. It has red seeds all winter long, and it's not as invasive as the burning bush.
And it's called a spice bush. Okay.
It's called a spice bush. It's more like a tree. If you can use it as a tree or a bush, but it's, it will help you feed the birds if that's what you're wanting.
Well, and I allow my, I have a round garden in my front yard that I have nothing but perennials in, and I let them just die. Got lots of seed heads on them. Now I don't chop them down until I start to see little green starting to come up under that. Then I cut them back. Is that a good idea?
I usually leave like sedum. Sedum stands up straight all winter long.
Yeah.
And the birds like to eat the sedum.
Yeah.
So I keep those. But plants like echinacea.
Okay, I don't have any echinacea.
You know, but there's the other plants that are not as firm.
Mm-hmm.
I usually cut those off after they bloom.
Yeah, that's kind of my rule. If they've got stalks that have a seed head at the top, I let them stay. If they're just sort of flop over, that's when I cut them. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay, good. Then I'm doing that one right.
Okay, back to bushes.
Yeah.
All bushes have a shape that's their normal shape.
Okay.
If you like that normal shape, then when you always want to take out the dead material in
okay.
there, but you want to keep the shape that you want.
Right.
So some of the things like arborvitae and stuff like that, if you let them grow too tall, then they are just woody on the bottom.
Oh, they are so woody, yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you have to go be very...
Hack them.
Yeah. And if you do it, then you can hack them back down almost... Yeah, 5 inches off the ground, and they'll come back.
Now, if I hack my... I've got a nice shape of all my arborvitae, but they're getting tall and broad. If I hack that all back, and it really looks nasty after you hack it back, will it grow now?
Yeah, it'll grow. But when you're doing this, you want to look at what the shape of it is. And
yeah.
Take out the dead material.
Take out the dead stuff.
So okay. It doesn't do good to just take the top part off with an electric
yeah,
thing.
That's what I had been doing.
Yeah, it doesn't, because then you get a lot of dead limbs in there that are not doing anything.
Okay, we're going to have to take our break, and I'm going to ask you maybe you can come back afterwards, because we've got lots of things still to talk about. But we have to take a 15-minute break here in about 15 seconds. So we're talking with Dr. Marilyn Coleman. Coleman. And we're going to talk about more about gardens, okay? We'll be right back. Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper.
Listen to me. But if your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money. Let them go to Amazon. It's a cheaper, and it's a great book because it's honest, and you're going to do a lot of laughing. And the only reason I wrote the book, because people who have no life are writing books, and they're boring. If you don't like my book, you'll say one thing. Boy, does he have a good book.
Thank you.
I love you, and I thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
First Lady of Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
Well, now, Phyllis, I saw you on Biography doing a ghost story. Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, for the money they gave me, I did temporarily.
Ha 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 Ah, that's the best answer I could have asked for. That's perfect. So the money was right.
Oh, boy, was it, darling, and I just adored my ghost.
Legendary stand-up comedian Marty Allen.
Yeah, like physically, what can't you do now that maybe you could do 20, 30 years?
I beg your pardon. Let's not get into that, Scott.